My name is Pastor Jim, and I'm the campus pastor here in Manhasset. And if you were here last week, maybe you remember Pastor Leslie talking about a habit of meditation, but talking about how people can sometimes get hangry, which means that they need to eat, they're getting a little irritable and things are not working, but it's because they need to eat. I am kind of in that position right now. I've had a long morning, I'm a little stressed. I'm hoping if someone can go out, I will buy if you fly, okay? Just to get a little something for me, I'm actually hoping if someone could go to Chick-fil-A. I have a hankering for Chick-fil-A. Any takers? Any takers? Oh, that's right. They're closed on Sunday. What's up with that? They're closed on Sunday. I mean, like, everybody's out. They want to feed their family. They're in an airport, whatever. They're closed on Sunday. Like, what's up about that? Well, my friend Pastor Jerry did a little research on this, and this is what I found out. So this fellow, Truett Cathy, okay, he actually died in 2014, 93 years old, had a couple billion dollars to his name at that point. Well, he began the company in this little store over here. It was one little restaurant, 1946. Their great idea was to use chicken as the main menu option. Well, they decided, hey, we want to start a company. We want to start a franchise. So what they did was they created a mission statement. And here is their mission statement, which you will see is a little different, actually maybe very different, than most other mission statements you might hear from a fast food company. Here's what it is. It says, to be America's best quick service restaurant, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. Well, in order to glorify God and in order to follow God, one of the things that they decided to do was unheard of at the time. And it's unheard of today. They're closed on Sunday. What's up with that? They have actually grown, but none of their competitors, the big competitors, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, none of them are closed on Sunday. It's one of the biggest franchises in the world, Chick-fil-A. How did they do that? Why did they get to this place? You know, I think that it's an unusual thing. It's a different kind of thing. And we're going to see that what they did was they wanted to do this so that their operators, the people that run the franchise, the employees, that they could be home, they could be with their families, they would have a day of rest and a day to be with God. That was what their mission was. Well, we are going to be continuing in our series of Habits for a Weary Soul. I don't know if anyone here feels like maybe they're a little bit weary, but this, I hope, will touch something in you and those around you. So we're going to be looking into Deuteronomy 5. But before we jump into this passage, I want to give you a little background. So the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, slaves for 400 years. They were brought out of Egypt by God, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. On the way, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, only 10. And one of them we're going to be talking about today. It is our habit of Sabbath. And so God comes to Moses, tells Moses to give them this commandment, and this is what he says in Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest, as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." I want to say that we aim to glorify God when we stop, rest, and delight in Him. I'm going to say that again. We glorify God when we stop, rest, and delight in Him. We glorify God by pointing ourselves to God. That's part of what it means to glorify God. We also glorify God by pointing others to God. And that's one of the things that the Sabbath did for the people of Israel. It pointed them to God, and it pointed all of the other nations to God as well. It was a unique thing that God did. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to go through each one: stop, rest, and delight in Him. Can you say that with me? Stop, rest, delight in Him. Okay, we could end the sermon now, but I get paid to go continue on, so I'm going to keep going. All right? So we're going to talk about, we glorify God when we stop. Let me read this passage. Deuteronomy 5:13 says this: "6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." So the Hebrew word Shabbat is where Sabbath comes from. It means to cease. It means to stop. You almost feel it in that word, right? Shabbat. It just sort of feels that way. So when you take a timed test, like an SAT or ACT, or maybe you're taking an online test and it's going by, and all of a sudden the proctor says, "Okay, time's up. Stop the test. Put your pencils down. Hand in your sheet." Or maybe you're online and it just goes, it's over, done. You cannot do anything else. Or maybe you watch some of these cooking competition things like Iron Chef, you know, where they're feverishly putting everything together and the music's going on and they're trying to finish it up, and all of a sudden it stops and they gotta put up their hands. Hands up, you cannot touch it anymore. Shabbat. Stop. The reason that is, these are really good illustrations, is that you might not be done with your dish. You might not be done with the test. I was never done with the test. You might not have it finished, but you have to stop. You have to stop. That is what it is with the Sabbath. We stop, not because it's finished, but because we're commanded to. We stop because it's what God says is best for us. You know what the reality is in our life, our work is never really done. The house is never perfectly clean, right? The presentation isn't always just perfect. I haven't practiced my instrument enough to be perfect. I haven't finished the chores. There's something still left. Nothing is done. There's always emails. There's a project. There's something left hanging. It's always there. There's something dinging on my phone constantly telling me, "You're not done." But I stop because my work is never done. I stop because God's commanded us to do that. God knows that it is best for us. Now, a little example for maybe you have college students or students here. One of the things I used to do, well, I became a Christian. I became a follower of Jesus in college. And during that time, I began to understand a little bit about what the Sabbath is. I started to understand this concept. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a whirl. So I decided that from Saturday night at 6 to Sunday night at 6, I would take a Sabbath rest. Meaning I wouldn't study, because that was my work at the time, studying. I would be out with friends, I would do whatever, I would go to church, and, you know, I would do things, but I wouldn't study. And that was hard, because, you know, being a student, you have tests, you have projects, you have all kinds of things going on, and you feel like you've got to get it done. But I would take that step of faith. I thought, I'm going to take this little baby step, and I'm going to try to not do that. And You know, it was probably good for me. It kind of brought me a little back a little bit, gave me a little rest. You know, scientifically, that is really good for us. But it also taught me to trust a little bit in God. Take that thing where I could trust God with my grades, I could trust God with my career, that in the long run, it's going to be better that I rest on the Sabbath, in the long run. So my experience with the Sabbath has actually been pretty spotty. There have been a lot of times in my life where I have just blown right through it. I just can go crazy. So before I became a pastor, my corporate life, working as a software developer, I could go crazy. I loved my work, and I've always loved my work. And it didn't feel like work sometimes. I would just constantly be at it. And, you know, I realize as I look back on it, and as a pastor too, I look back on things where I was just running constantly. I was constantly working. There was always something percolating. I could never let it go. And I realize now, as I'm looking back, I realize it was fear. I mean, I had a lot of fears. I had fears that, you know, someone else was going to get ahead of me, or that I was going to get fired, or that I would look bad, or that, you know, I would seem like I was incompetent. You know, maybe I was incompetent, but I could work so hard, I would look like I was competent. That was my strategy. I would just keep going at it, you know? And or that someone's going to find out I am really an imposter. That's a fear. Anyone else have that fear? Anyway. So all these fears drove me to the point where I can just get totally sucked into it. The other thing is I get some affirmation. You know, someone says, attaboy, it's like goes right in my arm. Boom, oh, that felt good. Hey, you did a great job. Oh, that felt good. And like I get addicted to this thing and I just keep wanting it more and more and more. And it keeps me from resting. It keeps me from the Sabbath. And that happened very clearly in this season of my life when I first got married, my first year of marriage. And I was working constantly. And I was totally wiped out. And it had such a terrible effect on my marriage with Jill, my first year. I still think of it and I think, Lord, it wasn't worth it. My relationships with my friends, my physical health, my emotional health, and my relationship with my new bride. It saddens me. It saddens me. But I did, because I wouldn't stop. So fear sometimes keeps us from stopping, but I want to encourage you that God is bigger than that. God can help us to overcome that fear with faith. So stopping allows me to practice this faith over my fear. Let's get practical right now. Let's talk about some things that we could stop, okay? Here's a list. Now, this isn't the absolute list. This list came from folks that took the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality class, which we did last fall, which we're starting actually in a couple weeks. And I reached out to the folks who took the class, and I said, hey, what are some things that you have stopped doing? And so this is the list that I got back from them. Stop from my paid work. Stop from my chores around the house. Stop getting on my phone, looking at my phone constantly. My required shopping, looking at my emails, my sort of unpaid work. Maybe I'm volunteering or doing something that I stopped doing that. Social media, just stopping it. Just stopping that input from coming into my head all the time. What a break. Studying, you know, if you're a student. The news. You want to change your life? If you're watching the news constantly, stop it for 24 hours. It will change your life. The stuff that keeps you angry or keeps you stressed, stop. Just stop. That's the challenge that God's giving us. So I want to take one moment for you to think of what could you stop for the Sabbath, for one day. Think about it. You got it? Okay, put a pin in that. All right. We glorify God when we stop. We glorify God when we rest. Stopping gives us space to receive the gift of rest. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5. It says, But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female student, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember this, the Israelites were in slavery for 400 years. Rose in the morning, worked all day, went to bed at night, got up the next day, did it all over again. Constantly. Never a break. And so they needed very specific instructions, a lot of help to understand this new concept. Because they didn't not just get a day off, they never got a day off, let alone a regular day off every week, every 7 days, you get a whole day. It blew their minds. They had no concept of this. You know why? Because they were slaves. They were treated like slaves, and God had to pound this into them with all this love by saying, look, you don't have to do this. You're no longer slaves. That's revolutionary. Because you know what? Slaves earn their rest. If they ever get a rest, they earn it. Master's not going to give a slave a rest if they don't earn it. God's children are given a rest. That's the big deal. God is saying, you are no longer slaves. We are not slaves. We are his children. It's a very big difference. And so we don't, God says, I don't want you to live like slaves. I don't want you to live like that. Take the shackles off. That's what God's telling us by giving us the Sabbath. We glorify God. We point to God. We point ourselves to God when we live like his children. So we don't rest because we've earned it. We rest because God loves you, because God wants to give you a gift. It's God's grace. It's a grace lesson in a different way. You didn't earn it. You are given it. And just like grace, we have to receive it. We have to take it in. If I give you a gift, if you don't take it, it's not yours. Got to take the gift. We have to receive the gift. Sabbath teaches us to receive God's grace. I think of a snow day. So my hometown is Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie, Pennsylvania has the record for snowfalls in the United States. My brother used to say that storms go to Erie to practice before they go to other places. And so we're used to snow. And so we would have these days we thought, oh, I think there's a snow day coming. And we would be anticipating it. We're hoping, oh, please let it be a snow day. And you get up the next morning and the news would be saying, yes, all the schools are closed for because of snow. There is no school today. We're like, yes, yes, a snow day. We loved it. And we would go out, we would go sledding, we would have snowball fights, we would, you know, we just have a blast because we'd go ice skating. I mean, it was just so much fun because there was no expectation. You can't do anything, you can't do any work. A snow day is a great illustration for me of a Sabbath rest. You can't do anything. Just relax, just rest, just enjoy. Well, I again asked some of our alumni from our Motion Athlete Spirituality class to tell me, hey, what are some things you're doing for the Sabbath? What are some new practices that you're doing to engage in this habit of the Sabbath? So here's what Tracy and Rich wrote. Rich and I take our Sabbath rest much more seriously now, thanks to the Motion Athlete Spirituality class. I find that it works best with a plan. Good idea. We both make sure we finish all our household chores and tasks on Saturday. On Sunday, we wake up early, spend time in devotion before church, and then for the rest of the day, we relax together. Depending on the weather, we go to the beach, we go hiking, take long walks with our four dogs, or in inclement weather, we play board games or watch Netflix. We also like to spend time with extended family, either our parents, adult children or grandchildren. I try to cook a large meal on Saturday, so there's plenty of flour of leftovers to keep me from having to cook on Sunday. I love this line. She says, Sundays are favorite day of the week. Sunday should be our favorite day of the week. I love that. Sabbath. So Barry and Inga, they wrote me, and here's what they said. Sabbath day for us is Sunday. Starts by sleeping in and going to the 11 a.m. Manhasset service. Then to Butter Cookie Bakery to enjoy coffee and treats as we each read our books. When we get hungry for dinner, we head to Gino's in Port Washington for a leisurely dinner. Then home for some cuddling and binge-watching Netflix or Amazon. Sounds nice, right? Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I reached out to Henry and Samantha because they have younger kids, because it's a different season. So here's what he said. When our kids were very young, it was much harder to actually enter into a Sabbath rest. During that season, when they were babies, Samantha and I would give each other an hour or two to be alone and to go and do something that replenishes us. It could be a nap or a walk, but we could usually alternate so that at least one of us could get away and recharge. Giving ourselves the gift of an hour alone was valuable, and it truly helped us stop, rest, and delight in God. Now that the kids are older, we do more together, and even though it feels like work sometimes, we have moments of rest. Every Sabbath, for us it's Saturday morning, begins with Sam sleeping in and me, Henry, making chocolate chip pancakes or some variation. We eat healthy and don't give a lot of sweets, but every Saturday, I make pancakes. It's a Furman family staple. I aim not to look at my phone or computer before 10 o'clock in the morning. It helps me spend the morning more connected to our family. Then when the weather is nice, we go to the park. We take a walk to Ralph's Italian Ices. We go on a hike in Cold Spring Harbor or a bike ride. We take the kids to the beach or go fishing. When the weather's poor, we play games together, watch a family movie, or take a nap while the kids watch a movie. Okay? It's a different stage. Now, each stage is different. Each person is different. My wife and I, well, our Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night, like 6 to 6. And we usually start with a dinner, and we might watch a movie, or we'll be with friends for dinner. It's just one of the things we do. The next day, we might go for a walk. I might exercise. We just kind of have a leisurely time. But here's an interesting thing. One of the things that I would like to do, that I sometimes like to do on my Sabbath, I will read. I'll have times. Maybe I'll even watch a sermon or something like that. But I like to go into the city. I like to walk around. I like to do stuff. I'm kind of like that. That is absolute death for my wife. She hates to do that. It's just not fun for her. And you know what? That's totally okay. That's totally okay. She's wired differently than I am. And so we experience rest in different ways. But I want to just give you some ideas of some things that are like rest for people, like sleeping in. So these are some common themes that I got from listening to folks. Sleeping in, a good meal, a nap, reading, entertainment, maybe family, friends, exercise, all these different things. These are not things that you have to do. These are not commands that you need to do all these things. These are just a few things that you get to do. It's a gift. Your list may be totally different, but you get to do this. This is not a command from on high that says you have to do these specific things, but it is a gift that you get to do these kinds of things. So how about you? What are some things that would give you life, that would feel like, you know what, this is water to my soul? Think of a couple things that you're dying to do, but you feel like, I don't have permission to do it. I shouldn't do that. No, you get to do it. It's a gift for you today. So we glorify God when we stop. We glorify God when we rest, and we glorify God when we delight in Him. You know, I want to read this passage to you, Deuteronomy 5:15. It says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." We delight in Him. This is why a Sabbath is different than a day off. A day off, you can go to the bank, do your laundry, you know, whatever. But this is a little different because we delight in Him. The Sabbath is a little different. Sabbath is it's a reminder to delight in the power of God. Now, believe it or not, when you fall asleep, the earth continues to turn. Things still happen when you're sleeping. In fact, if we take a Sabbath rest, believe it or not, God's still in control. God's still powerful. He's there. He's going to keep it going, believe it or not. And, you know, the people of Israel, they had to really understand this from God. And, you know, when they were being taken out of Egypt, you know what the big thing that their big responsibility was? Walking. That was what they did. The Israelites did a lot of walking. That was the big thing they did. But God did the hard work. God destroyed Pharaoh's army, right? Defeated Pharaoh's army. God split open the Red Sea. God gave them manna every day. God led them by the cloud, the pillar of smoke and the fire. God did all the hard work. They did the walking. And it's God saying, look, I did this for you. You can rest. You can relax in the power of God. That's why you can stop. That's why you can rest. Just delight in the power of God. My wife loves this. My wife Jill loves this psalm, and it's really apropos right now. It says, Psalm 120 says, 27 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves." God loves you. He's giving you a rest. You know, God wants us to delight in His gifts. In Genesis 1:31, it says this, "God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." God took a moment to step back and say, you know what? This is beautiful. This is awesome. This is incredible. He delighted in what was created. And we get to do the same thing. That's why when you see some of these rest things, a lot of themes come up, like being out in nature, being just there's something like you can't describe it, like it's a gift to be out in God's creation, or to be with friends, or to have a good meal, or to taste the food, to relax, to enjoy that rest. It's like, oh, I'm tasting the world, I'm tasting my friends, I'm tasting my family, I'm there. I'm appreciating it. And you know what it does? When we delight in His gifts, it gives us gratitude. When we delight in Him and we delight in His gifts, it gives us gratitude. And that gratitude is a gift that feeds our soul and brings glory to Him. The last thing is that it is a way for us to delight in Jesus. It is a way for us to delight in Jesus. In Luke 10, it gives this great story. It says this, "Jesus and His disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. What Mary has chosen is better, and it will not be taken from her. Sabbath is that space where we can slow down and sit at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary. Martha, Martha, so many things you're worried about. Don't worry about them. Mary is in the presence of Jesus. We want to be like Mary and take that time to delight at the feet of Jesus. Well, Sabbath is a way that we glorify God. And when we delight in Him, there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. We can go, you're doing it right now. It's a way that you do it. Worship, God's Word, silence. A lot of these habits we're going to be learning, you can practice them. You can work on them during your Sabbath. Being out in nature, thankfulness, journaling, prayer, fellowship. All these things are ways that you can delight in God. Think of a way that you can delight in God on the Sabbath. It'll point us to Him. So Sabbath, it's a way that we glorify God when we stop, rest, and delight in Him. Let's say those three together. We stop, rest, and delight in Him. So what about Chick-fil-A? Like, how has it been working out for them? Well, Truett Cathy, who took over from his father, has continued in that same biblical mandate, that purpose that they had created, and they continued to grow. And in fact, they are the second largest fast food franchise in the nation. They are behind McDonald's, but as far as what the profitability for each individual store, per store, Chick-fil-A has better profitability over McDonald's, Subway, and Starbucks combined, right? So per store, they make more profit. And you know what? They're closed on Sunday. It's amazing. How is it that they do that? Is it because their waffle fries are awesome? Is it because they've got great spicy chicken sandwiches? Part of it. But maybe it's because their employees constantly get rated the best, the most polite, the most helpful in the whole industry. They also have the least amount of turnover of anyone in the industry. For the operators, the ones that sort of run the franchises, and the employees, they have the least turnover. Why is that? Is it because maybe they have a time to stop, rest, and delight in God? They have a Sunday off. Maybe that is part of it. Very possible. What about you? What about you? What might you do to embrace this gift, this beautiful gift that is just one of the Ten Commandments? It's a gift for you. How might you bring glory to God by resting, stopping, and delighting in Him? Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your gift of Sabbath to stop, rest, and delight in You. We thank You for the permission to stop our work and experience Your provision. Thank You for giving us the rest so that we can enjoy the world around us that You have created for Your children. Thank You for the freedom to delight in Your presence and be reminded of Your power and goodness. God, we thank You that You love us and You care for us as Your children and that You treat us as Your beloved children, not as slaves, and that we can walk in the freedom that You give to us. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.